Hey, it's your boy JC. Welcome to episode 74 of the Dream 10X podcast.
74, we're really rocking it. I'm Dr. Capel.
Dr. Capel, yep. Welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome to the set. This is our new set.
Oh, wow. It's pretty fabulous.
Our new set up, I should say. We've got new equipment here. We're trying to make a better podcast. Mm-hmm. Vlog, video, whatever. But in this episode, we're going to be talking about the book... How to Be a Capitalist Without Any Capital by Nathan Latka. But before we get into this book, review of this book, I want to show you a little bit about the Dream 10X media pipeline that I've been developing, and then we'll come right back. Okay, welcome back. So I just wanted to give a quick overview of the UI that I just hacked together yesterday that sits on top of the media pipeline that we use here behind the scenes at Dream 10X. And I talked a little bit about podcast animation or automation back in November, last November 13th, in our episode 65, in which I was developing an automation pipeline to take our videos and an associated image for our blog and our podcast, and to automatically take that information and crunch it through various steps and spit out a podcast, a video vlog, and a blog out on dream10x.com. And so that pipeline is working pretty well right now, but I just wanted to create a nice front end, or nice, it's an ugly UI, I know, admittedly, but at least it's a UI that you can easily enter the meta information you need associated with the podcast. And then all you got to do is click the run pipeline button, and it takes all that information, and it associates it with the video that we take and the image that we create from the book or whatever that we're talking about, and it sends that data through our pipeline, which is about six services that do various things, uses machine learning for extracting audio from video, creating text from that audio, summarizing that audio, and then generating a blog post and automating the deployment of the video out to YouTube, and then automating the deployment of the blog after a quick human review out to AWS CloudFront. Anyway, I'm happy to provide a more detailed description of the code and the tech stack and how it actually works for the subscribers of Dream 10X. So if you're interested in getting that video, then all you got to do is go to dream10x.com. And I'll just do that real quick and show you how to subscribe. When you first go to the website, that little subscription pop-up, it's kind of annoying, shows up. You can enter your email there to subscribe, or you can click on the subscribe button on the homepage. Just give us your email address, and I will make sure you get a link to that detailed video that we're going to put together. Just if you're interested in more about the technical details of how the pipeline works and kind of the back-end infrastructure to support it. Also, in case you didn't realize, at the website, we now have a store where we are selling used copies of the books that we review. We're going to sign them and send them out to whoever wants them. You can name your price, essentially, and shipping is included. Just click the buy button and we'll send that book out right to you, signed by Dr. Capel and myself. Thanks for your support. So Nathan Latka's book. I found out about Nathan Latka through his podcast called The Top, and this was several years ago. I would listen to his podcast on the way to and from work. And I learned a great deal from his podcast, and while I was listening to him, he would talk to SaaS, software as a service, startup CEOs and leaders, and would try to get as much data from them as possible during the podcast. I just thought he was really brilliant. And I learned a lot of new terms like ARR and MRR and CAC, CAC, and ROI. And I thought, man, this podcast is like a little mini MBA.
So what is MRR and ARR? And
MRR is monthly recurring revenue.
Okay.
ARR is your annual recurring revenue. Mm-hmm. ROI, of course, is return on investment. CAC is your customer acquisition cost.
How
much it costs you to actually capture a customer for a while. And then churn, you got concepts like churn and all that stuff. So I learned all of
Very
that
cool.
from Nathan Latka's mm-hmm. podcast. And so his podcast ranks up in the top tier of the ones that are meaningful, have been meaningful to me. One of the ones that actually inspired me to start this podcast.
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
Along with Grant Cardone, of course.
Wow.
and Tim Ferriss. Tim Ferriss
is awesome. He's
probably the goat of podcasting.
Yeah.
One of,
he's got so much energy too. I love that.
Yeah, so Nathan Latka is right up there with me. Yeah. Really smart guy. And I was fascinated to learn that, I didn't know this about him before I read this book, that he was a student at Virginia Tech.
Really?
Huh. And so that's meaningful to me because my daughter is a senior now at Virginia Tech. She's about ready to graduate. Thank goodness. Go Hokies, I guess. We went to our first football game this year.
Switch fun, yeah.
Well, was it this year or last year?
It was this year.
This year.
It was like a couple weeks ago.
No, it wasn't 2025, it was 2024, wasn't it? No, yeah, it was Thanksgiving 2024.
Oh, you're right. Oh my gosh.
Woof. Yeah, but time's flying. But yeah, we went to a football game.
It was so cold.
It was freezing cold, but it was a lot of fun to be around college kids again and be like, man, I'm glad I'm not in this mess anymore. But yeah, he did not graduate from Virginia Tech, which is another interesting thing. So one of the great stories I thought in the beginning of this book was how he was starting his entrepreneurial journey as a student in his dorm room, which many entrepreneurs do. He was one of them. He was selling something on Facebook. He stayed up late the night before midterm exam, got his product out. And while he had his phone on so that every PayPal transaction that he received from that would ding his phone. But during the midterm exam, of course, students aren't allowed to have their phones with them because maybe they're cheating, God forbid. So they have to put their phones over in the corner. So while he's taking the exam, he's hearing his phone ding twice.
Oh my gosh.
He was selling his product for $700 a pop.
Wow.
He got two dings during the test. And he realized, hey, I made $1,400 failing this test. So he was a junior in college and he drops out. He's like, I'm gonna go be an entrepreneur. It's more fun making money than it is learning about how to make money. You know, it's more fun to do and actually receive the benefits of that than actually learning about it. So I love that story. I love how he opened up. And then there's a lot of good detail in this book that I really learned some good lessons from. So, one of the things, so page 8 of the book, he sets out the structure of the book. So another thing I'm thinking about, this is a college graduate who's a multimillionaire now, might even be doing 9 figures, I don't know, but he is definitely a multimillionaire. And I had just read a horrible book, and then I read this book, and I'm like, oh, this is a well-structured book, and it's got a lot of valuable information in it, so I really appreciate that. So he lays out the structure first, and so the big things that he talks about are four primary categories. One, don't focus on one thing. And I love how he works this out throughout the book, how you know, common knowledge is focus on one thing, follow one course until success is a big principle a lot of people follow. But he says, forget that. Forget the common knowledge. Do many things at once.
That's good, because that's totally us.
That's what I like about this. There's a lot of things in here that's
Felination!
A lot of us. And so having one business is probably not a good thing. Having one employer is obviously not a good thing, because if you lose that one income stream, it happens all across America. People are relying on that one income stream. They lose their job for whatever reason, and then we're stuck. We're in a really hard place. So do multiple things at once. Work on multiple streams of income. It seems obvious a lot of times, but it's not obvious. It's not easy to do. And it's something that I've been working all my life on trying to learn how to do that. And so I appreciate some of the ideas that he presents in this book on how to set that up. Also, he recommends having just three things to work on, three businesses. Elon Musk, for example, has multiple businesses, but normal person could probably benefit from just three.
And it's also different when you have people like to help run those businesses too, versus you running all three businesses. I mean, that's a very different construct.
True. But the idea behind having three businesses that are kind of complementary is the multiplicative effect of the product and the services that each are offering. And if you could offer similar products and services in the other three that kind of complement one another, you get a multiplicative effect of your revenue, your profit.
That makes sense.
Plus the knowledge that you learn from doing different things can be applied across the board to all of the things.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And I find that true a lot when I do side projects. When I work on side projects, I learn things that are directly applicable to other work that I'm doing. And that's the idea. Not only are you learning knowledge, from other things that you're doing and can apply them to your main thing or another thing. But if you're working on revenue, you can multiply your revenue as well. So that's a great point. Number two, copy your competitors. That also goes against kind of the common mainstream. A lot of us, myself included, think that if we have an idea and we go look out into the world and we see somebody else doing that brilliant idea, then it's kind of a downer. We're like, somebody else is doing that, right? I can't do that. But his idea or his concept is, that's great. Somebody else is doing something similar. Copy it.
It means there's
a need. Copy the good stuff. There's a need for it there. Don't be disheartened because somebody else is already doing your idea.
Absolutely. Yep.
And so that was really good to read. That was heartening to see somebody say that out, even though I logically think that myself.
Well, and think about that, the one company that started the picking up people with the mustaches.
Yeah.
Like had Lyft or Uber said, somebody else is doing that.
Right.
But they did it better.
Yeah.
So here we are.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's a lot of fun to read. I'm really happy for that. I'm glad I was in the book. I don't know how to say it. So part of the reason I do this podcast is to help articulate my thoughts better.
He's so on the pretty, fly. Isn't he pretty? Kidding.
You're sexist.
I am.
I appreciate
it's true.
That. Goal setting was another thing.
Oh, yeah.
Don't set goals, he says.
Uh-huh.
You believe that?
I do.
Really? I thought you were big on goal setting.
It's a dichotomy because I believe on having like an ultimate, this is what I think, who I want to be. And then what are those qualities that you want to be or qualities that you want to do?
Mm-hmm.
And then do different things to get to those qualities. So I want to be when I wanted to be a chief learning officer, what kind of qualities did I want to be in that chief learning officer? And that was a particular position.
That's a position.
But in general, like when I looked at who I wanted to be as a person, I wanted to be somebody who was creative, collaborative, and competent, who could think strategically and do all these things. And that aligned well with what I wanted to be as well. So having that goal, that larger goal of, but it could always pivot too. So what if it pivots and does something else, but it's still who you want to become? So yeah, it's like a larger goal. So it's having a focus, but also being willing to bend and change and do other things within that construct.
Okay. All right. One of the reasons he says not to set goals, rather build systems, is that if you set goals and you achieve them, you're going to be bored and not do anything else. Which there's a little. But I like his thought of constantly building systems. Your objective should be to build systems around what you're doing, build systems around your passive income stream so that you're hands off, you got some money coming in, and then how can I improve that system to bring in even more money? And so that should be like not a goal that's attainable, but something that's not attainable and that you're constantly doing. It's a kind of this constant Kaizen process.
I
so
love that.
I kind of get that.
Continual improvement. I love that.
Continual improvement. The fourth item that he kind of constructs his book around is the idea of selling pickaxes to miners. So the idea of the gold rush that happened in the Old West, everybody went out west to find the gold people were talking about out there. And the people who really made money were not the gold miners, not the prospectors, but the people who sold products and services to the prospectors.
It's like when it's raining in DC and somehow all of the vendors are suddenly selling umbrellas outside.
Yeah, kind of like that. Yeah. It's not the gold that made everybody rich.
Yeah.
It was selling
the tools
and the services, the food and everything to the prospectors who were out there looking for the gold. So using that paradigm, how can you build products and services in your own business to sell to the prospectors?
Mm-hmm.
Where's the hot thing? Obviously, AI. I mean, everybody's talking about AI, for goodness sakes.
Yeah.
How can you sell pickaxes to the people chasing the AI gold?
So when you say AI, like build services that are like layman, like me, something that I can use to help my life better building learning.
Yeah, I think the perfect example of that is NVIDIA. NVIDIA is selling the pickaxes to people chasing the AI gold.
But I don't know what that means.
NVIDIA is the company that sells the GPUs and the computers and the software to people who take that and put it in these big data centers to build these big machine learning AI models that they wrap services around to sell to people.
Got it. So they're giving them the capability to build it. Got it.
They're giving them the capability, but not necessarily the AI.
Yeah.
In some degree, I think they are doing that, but it's mostly about the hardware and the software to make that possible.
Interesting.
It's all about the pickaxes. On page 54, he mentions 7 books on systems that I wanted to mention that I potentially would like to read at some point. Thinking in Systems.
Yeah.
Do you have that?
I don't think I do, no.
Oh, I thought you did.
I might.
Oh, that book looked familiar when I saw that. By
it
Janelle
might be
Meadows.
On the book. I have a lot of books on my bookshelf.
You have a lot of systems books.
I do.
So I
like
thought
systems
maybe...
thinking. It might be on there. I don't know.
Yeah. All right. Mastering the Rockefeller Habits by Vern Harmish.
I don't have that.
Business Adventures by John Brooks. The Outsiders by William Thorndike. The Outsiders. That sounds like a story.
It is a movie. It's a novel.
Yeah.
That they turned into the movie.
Well, so now I'm curious what's that got to do
with systems. The novel's amazing.
Thing Explainer by Randall Munroe. McDonald's Behind the Arches by John F. Love, and obviously The 4-Hour Work Week by Tim Ferriss. I listened to it. I didn't read with my eyeballs. I listened with my ears.
you participated in the experience.
Yeah. I think about that book a lot because, dang, who's got a 4-Hour Work Week? Come on.
No way.
Brilliant book, though. Brilliant book. All right. Growing Revenue. I'm trying to read my notes here. Oh, chapter 12 of the book was gold for me.
Okay.
And it was all about how to grow your business to $1 million ARR.
Oh, cool.
Recurring revenue, $1 million. And so he mentions that if you've got an income stream that's not at $1 million ARR, you've got customers, don't worry about getting more customers. That seems counterintuitive to me because I'm like, okay, I got these customers paying me $3 a month. How do I get more customers paying me? But his idea is to go deeper with customers that you have. How can they're already willing to give you money. Yeah. How can you figure out how to get them to give you more money? Can you go deeper with those customers?
Like the church where they were like constantly taking money from people.
Maybe. Churches are businesses too, man.
Yeah, well, they are. And like, so I think it's genius saying, hey, give us an offering. And then, hey, give us more offerings. Yeah. And hey, we need to build this. Give us more money. Yeah. And then so they're going deeper into the pockets.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, it's a terrible example, but it's...
It's an example. How can you upsell what you're already selling? How can you add more value to what you already have?
Yeah. And
so do the millionaire math. What you know, you got $1 million that you want to achieve in that year. How do you break that down and get that? How do you create the value that you can get those already paying customers to pay you for this?
To really help them succeed in whatever they want to do.
Right.
Yeah,
how do you
absolutely.
Get that? How do you create that value for the customers you already have? So that was really good. Another concept that I pulled, it was one sentence in the book, but it hit me like a ton of bricks, and it was, look at your expenses every 3 months and reduce them.
Nice.
And as the CEO of your household, everybody's the CEO, right? You're the CEO of your money, your bank account, your household, your company. Everybody's the CEO. So everybody needs to do this. Every period of time, look at your expenses and think, how can I reduce those? And I know that we have expenses with the daggum internet that I just need to take an hour to sit down and say, all right, this is how we're going to reduce that. I know we can.
We can
expenses.
We can get our own router and...
Everybody has a way of reducing their expenses to some extent. And the reason you want to do that is so you have more cash in your pocket so you can use that cash and deploy it for investments or whatever to grow more cash.
For more forges and hammers, yay!
Whatever, yeah. As long as you can use that to make more money for it. Yeah. So chapter 12 was great. And then he talks about multiplying your businesses in businesses of three and having those kind of cross-fertilize one another.
Mm-hmm.
Another good thing that I pulled out of here was the concept of ideas. And, he reiterated the fact that ideas are to be shared, openly shared. Everybody has ideas, right? And it's the execution of those ideas that matter, that actually create the intellectual property, that create the value. It's not the ideas themselves. And we have a lot of idea sex ourselves.
Yeah, we do.
And it's exhausting. We have a lot of ideas. But I saw a great quote on social media today. And I think it's attributed to John D. Rockefeller. It says, The best way to find the perfect idea is to have many ideas.
Love it.
That's awesome.
We're out.
That's awesome. So with that, we'll leave you with this episode, and we'll see you next book. Over and out.